So we're in this sermon series about following Jesus. And as we talk about that, we keep asking this question, how is that going for you? How is it going for you being a follower of Jesus? I was told that Jeff Burton, pastor last Sunday, did a marvelous message on discipleship and that process of being transformed into the likeness of Christ. I think his subtitle was A Process as Old as Dirt. And so I'm excited about listening to that message online, and I want to encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to be here, to go there. I've heard it's a great message. Go online, listen to his message. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to live a life in community, and that's where we're going to focus today. You know, our backpacking stuff is way too much for one person to carry. We experienced that when we were out on the trail. But when we divided things up and shared the load, we were able to get to our destination, to where we wanted to be. So the Bible today tells us that we want to think of ourselves with sound judgment. There's a term that we use. It's called veritas, and it's a process of telling the truth in the church. And so this idea is that we want to tell the truth about where the church is and where we're at and what's really truly going on. Not to pretend things are the way good or something, but to actually tell the truth. And I think that applies for us as well. We want to tell the truth about our journey of discipleship, about how it's going really in our walk with Jesus. So today we talk about this life of community. In Romans 12, chapter 3, if you want to follow along, it begins that, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, meaning with sound mind, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. And so the question we want to ask ourselves as we think about the truth and think about our walk with Jesus is, do we, as followers of Jesus, take the church seriously? Take church seriously. Now, when I talk about church, I don't just mean like coming on Sunday morning. You know, that's kind of the idea we get when we think about church. We think about, you know, the building with the steeple and inside in worship. That's part of our experience, but the church is really those who believe in Jesus Christ and desire to follow him as their Lord and leader. And so if you have faith in Christ and you want to follow him, then you're the church. Whether you're in here or out there, we together are the body of Christ. We are the church. And so when we think about that, do we take church seriously? You know, Alaska is a big wilderness. We discovered that when we were there. And there's a picture here of Beeman's Cabin. It's near Byers Lake in Denali State Park. It's this once probably a nice cabin, but now kind of falling apart out in the middle of the wilderness. And I once thought when I was younger that it would be great just to go trek out into the wilderness and live by myself for a long time. And, you know, as I think about that, I was thinking that, you know, as a follower of Jesus, that's really not what we're called to do. We're called to be in the world, but not of it, right? So to be engaged, we're called to be with people, not isolated away from people. And this is the calling of a Jesus follower, to be engaged in relationships as the church, as the body of Christ. And so healthy missional markers of churches in the Covenant Church, we talk about what does it mean to be a healthy church, and one of those aspects is compelling Christian community. In other words, we share life together beyond our worship service. As the church, we do all of life together. Christ followers can't live isolated because we are the community of Christ. We are in it together. It's not all about me, it's really about us. And so Paul talks about that in Philippians when he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In other words, the other person, the other Christ follower, is part of who we are. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as that of Jesus Christ. So God's community is this idea of living life together. We belong to one another, and we are responsible to one another. You know, when we were not believers in Jesus, before we came to faith in him, we didn't belong in the body of Christ. We might have been around, but we weren't part of that believing community. And so by taking that step of faith, the scripture says the old is gone, the new has come. In other words, the old life that we used to live is buried in Christ, in his death, and we are raised to a new life. That's salvation. That's new life in Christ. That's personal salvation, personal relationship. But we're not just born into that new life. We're also born into a new community. And that community is what? Yes, the church. That's right. That community is the church. So we are not only born to new life, but we are born to a new life in a new community, the community of Christ. That's the church. And so it's a community that of life that is interdependent. Interdependent means not that I'm responsible for myself and depend on myself. Interdependent means I am responsible for myself and you are responsible for me. I depend on you, you depend on me. I can't do community life by myself. Hi, Tim, how are you doing today? Pretty good, how about you? I'm so glad you're in worship today. I'm so glad you're here too. You know, it doesn't work. We need to have one another. We need to have community to be the body of Christ. In Romans 4:12-4, if we're following along in your scripture, for just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we have, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So our faith is personal, but it's not private. It's not intended to be lived alone. You know, humans are relational by nature, right? We need relationships, and it's not any different spiritually. So as we grow in our relationship with God, you know, we put a lot of focus on this, you know, having a relationship with God, but we really can't have this relationship without also having this relationship with one another. The relationship with God compels us to love each other. Love for God pours through us to one another. And so we have both relationship with God and relationship with God's community, Christ's church. So it's not one or the other, it's both. And the church is not something that we came up with on our own idea. You know, we're all believers in Jesus, let's get together and have a club. Not at all, it wasn't like that. In fact, Jesus himself established the church so that we would be in the body of Christ. Eugene Peterson says it like this: there can be no maturity in the spiritual life, no obedience in following Jesus, no wholeness in the Christian life apart from an immersion in and an embrace of community. I am not myself by myself. So in other words, we find out who we truly are when we are with others. So telling the truth about ourselves and our relationship with one another, are we growing in our spiritual relationships with each other, with the body of Christ? And so Al Tizon served globally of the Evangelical Covenant Church. He says we should ask this question: how involved are we? How involved are we in the life of the church? You know, we get as much out of fellowship as we put into it. In verses 6 and 7, Paul says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Each of us is to exercise them according to how God has given it. So if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we're responsible to tell the truth to ourselves about how that is going, how our walk with Jesus is going in our relationships with one another. One of the healthy missional markers of this compelling Christian community reminds us that we understand that our love for one another is a powerful testimony to the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, that Jesus is our Lord. He is our leader in our lives. And Jesus said this, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if," what does it say up here? "If you love one another." Yeah, that life and community of love. So who really does that? Who really loves like the scripture teaches, like Jesus teaches? You know, Paul spoke about a person in the scripture. His name was Timothy, a young man who actually was living out this compelling Christian community. And I see that happening in our life together here at Bethlehem Covenant Church. In fact, Paul says this. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare." In other words, Timothy is really, truly concerned about this life together. "For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus, but you know that Timothy has proved himself." Timothy looks out for the interests of others. And so it is possible. There are models in Scripture for us, but we have models around us as well. So we need to continually ask ourselves, how are we cultivating this body of Christ interdependent relationship? In verses 9 through 16, the apostle shares about how we do life together. And that's what we're going to focus on for the rest of the message here, is how do we do this? How do we live this interdependent, community, gospel-centered life? So the center of that life is relationship with Jesus, and it is the gospel. And so when we talk about this community life, we look to the scriptures to see how it is to be lived. And so I've asked people who are unfamiliar with life in the church, and they might say, what do I have to do, you know, to come to church? What do I have to do to be part of this thing that you guys do? And my answer really is just to live into who we are as followers of Jesus, which means we belong now to a community of Christ. And so we do it by doing life together. So in the backpack illustration, we recognize we can't do it alone. We need to share the load, share the burden. And the first do is talk about how we do that. So in Romans 12:9, it says, "Love must be sincere," which means without hypocrisy. "Hate what is evil, cling to what is good." You know, we can't fake love. Did you know that? We can't fake love. It has to be real. It has to come out of that sincere love for Jesus and for Jesus' ways. And if it's not real, everybody knows it. People around you will find out pretty quickly. So I'm not suggesting that any one of us is perfect. In fact, no one here is perfect. How does that make you feel? Aw, I thought my pastor was perfect. Nobody is perfect. And yet, we are called to love each other out of that perfect love that God gives us, empowered by Christ to do that. And these verses then describe what this looks like when we really love each other. Romans 10:12 says, "Be devoted to one another in love." Now, this is a kind of brotherly love that it's called. It's a love that is a family kind of love. You know, that kind of thing when we hear blood is thicker than water, you know, that those family relationships matter the most. That's what kind of love the scripture's talking about here with each other, that we are committed to one another as a family. And here's my plea for you. If you don't know what it means to live in a family that demonstrates that kind of commitment and love for one another, then I encourage you to go to Scripture and find out what that kind of love looks like. And watch followers of Jesus as they seek to live that out in their lives, and then begin to understand what true love means in the family of God. You know, up here we have a picture of John and Lola. Lola is a dog that we met this weekend. Actually, we met her a little earlier. It's not a wolf eating him. So she's an Alaskan Malamute, and she sheds on everything. In fact, this week we're kind of like picking hairs off of the long white hairs everywhere. So I don't particularly like dog hair. I don't particularly like dog slobbering, and she has a lot of both. She belongs to a couple that live in a townhome with our daughter, and Liz and Andrew are our daughter and son-in-law in Anchorage. We stayed with them, and Lola doesn't particularly abide by whose space is whose. To Lola, this is all community space. We share everything. And so she just goes where she wants to, and she's big. She's huge, actually. So when she crawls under the table, and I'm sitting there, she's stepping on my toes. You know, "Oh, Lola, you're a heavy dog." And when she lays down in the hallway, she doesn't move. She just lays there, so you got to step over Lola, which is probably a good thing, because if she got up, she'd knock me over anyway. And so Lola is a loyal dog. I discovered that about there. She cared about me. She cared about us. And when we were on this mountain trail, she stuck close by to us. And as we got a little bit spread out, she would run to the front and then run to the back and then run to the front and sit in the middle. And she'd look back and forth and she'd kind of whine and say, "Come on, guys, you can't get spread out." You know, and she'd want us to get all together. She didn't want anyone to be left on that mountainside. And so, honestly, I was kind of amazed that Lola cared about me, because, you know, I didn't know this dog from any other thing. I didn't particularly even like this dog, but she was devoted, because that's the kind of dog she was. You know, and as Christians, we are to be like Lola. We are to be devoted to one another, even if we don't particularly like each other. We are committed. We care. We're there, because that is who we are. You know, I know some of you may be going through some difficult times right now. I know some of you are. How are you doing? How are you doing today? Are you okay? Are there things that are weighing you down? Are you doing well? How is life with you today, this week, this month? It matters. It matters to all of us. And my encouragement is that, you know, we seek to care for one another, and I think in many ways we do that pretty well. But sometimes we miss the opportunities that we have to demonstrate real and practical love. Sometimes we actually don't know that somebody is hurting or in trouble or needing support. And so if that's you today, I encourage you to share that with someone else. Share that with someone sitting around you. We are the body of Christ. It's our responsibility to love and care for one another, like Lola. Even if we don't particularly care about the situation, we're still responsible. So share that need. And if we know of a need, maybe we already know of it, or if we find out about a need today or in the future, I encourage us this week to do something about it, to act in love toward that person. Because that's who we are as the family of God. If we are going to be Jesus followers, then we demonstrate our devotion to one another. And so the do lives together include honoring one another above yourselves. You know, the language of this is giving preference to one another. So imagine that you're going to a Subway after church for lunch. Actually, you're not going to Subway after church because we have lunch up here. So we'll say Monday, you go to Subway for dinner, and you go, and you're in a hurry, and there's a big long line, and three people in front of you have a list of sandwiches that they're getting for their whole workplace, and you're sitting there going, "Oh, this is a really long line." And you turn around and look behind you, and there's a parent with a couple of young kids, and they're getting a little cranky, and you can tell their hands are full. You know, what if you turned around to that parent and said, "Hey, I see that, our line's really long. It's going to be a big wait today. I know that, your kids are, struggling a little bit. How about if you go in front of me? I can wait a little longer. Go ahead and take my spot." How many of us would think about doing that? Well, good for you. I wouldn't. But, we ought to. As followers of Jesus, right? Because we're not only concerned about ourselves, but we're concerned about the other person. And we care enough to put their needs ahead of our own. Not just our own needs, but others' needs as well. Compelling Christian community. You know, we love each other as we are, not as we should be. And I think the only way that we can really follow this command and honor one another above ourselves is if we do it not because someone deserves it, but because we love and care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we only do things for people who deserve it, that's not love. But when we do it when people don't necessarily deserve it, because they are our brother or sister created in the image of God, and They're part of our own community of faith and life. They're part of who we are. That's why we do it. That's why we honor one another. And then we allow Jesus to work in us and through us to help that person become who Jesus wants them to be. You know, it's the do's of life together. The apostle continues on. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. You know, don't lag behind. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. You know, being involved as a Jesus follower means participating in life together. And so, you know, there's many ways of participating in life together, but this is one of them, coming together on Sunday morning. So, you know, if you're wondering, does it matter if you're here today on Sunday morning, sitting in the pew, doing this worship and life together? Let me tell you, yes, it matters. You know, let me ask, if you're wondering, does the pastor really care if I show up on Sunday morning? I'm just another person sitting in the pew, you know, back there, up here. You know, would he really miss me? Does it really matter? The answer is yes, I do want you here. I love when you're here because it's life together. And the truth is, we can't do life together if we're not together. And so at some point, we have to be together. Now, does that mean we're going to be here every Sunday? I wasn't here last Sunday, so I, you know, no. But did you miss me? Oh, that is so sweet. And I missed you. Love must be sincere. I really did miss worshiping together. It is important. Now, let me ask this. Does it matter to the person next to you if you're here in worship on Sunday or participating in life together? Does it matter to the person next to you? Does it matter to you if that person is here? Let's try that again. Does it matter if that person is here? Turn to one another and says, it matters that you're here. It does, right? Because it's life together. Part of keeping that spiritual fervor, part of growing as a disciple of Jesus, is simply showing up. And I think we miss that point sometimes. I'm not saying that we have to be at everything, but we have to be together. It's who we are. It's the community of Christ. And so as we live into that, I believe God shows up. And we begin to experience God's grace in a way we never could apart from being together. And so I want to encourage us to continue to make that commitment, to make that effort to be together in life. So the do's of life together, verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. You know, Liz and Andrew told me that in Alaska, I haven't verified this, maybe you can help me, but in Alaska that if you have a wilderness cabin, you know, out in the woods, that you're supposed to leave a key available and leave that cabin stocked with some food and water and also some firewood that would last a day. Now the reason, okay, I'm hearing a yes. Now the reason for that is because it's a wilderness area. And people there have to live by wilderness principles and wilderness rules. If you get stranded out there, it's life or death, whether or not that cabin you can get into or whether or not it has food. Now, you'd have to replace it eventually when you had the opportunity, but that's how that community lives together. It's life or death. I think it's the same way in the church. You know, it's life or death for us, whether or not we care for one another, whether or not we live in community with one another. And if we don't, we cease to exist as the body of Christ. We don't live by this world's standards. We live by a different set of rules. We live by kingdom principles, God's rules, the rules of the household of the family of God. So doing life together. Sometimes we have to question the hyper-individualism of our age. You know, it's not what I want, what I think, what I'm interested in, what I feel like, what I want to do, you know, to each his own. You know, these are common attitudes in the culture, and sometimes I like them, you know, because I care about myself. But the reality is we need to think about others as well. We need to put others above ourselves. It's who we are as followers of Jesus. Talks about practicing hospitality, and I think sometimes we think about that in different terms. You know, like hospitality is going to a hotel who has a nice suite and a mint on the pillow and maybe some chocolate on the alongside of it. You know, that's I don't think that's what the scripture is teaching us about hospitality. I think hospitality simply means making time for other people. In our day and age, when we're so busy, that to practice hospitality just means making yourself available for someone else. It might simply mean cooking a meal and inviting another family to sit and share that meal with you, or a widow or a widower or someone to come and spend time together. Sure, it's an effort. Sure, it takes time. Sure, we're all busy, but that's who we are. We're those who practice hospitality with another. So we do life together. This is a long message. I think I'm going to have to abbreviate it a moment here. Romans 12, 14, 15, and 16 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another." In other words, show understanding toward one another. The next slide kind of shows us what it means to live in harmony with one another. Oh, so... not actually, that isn't very harmonious when you're out in the woods. So next slide is living in harmony talks about community as being in unity with one another. Having that life together, not that we're going to agree with everything, not that we're going to see eye to eye on everything, not that we're never going to have disagreements or even arguments sometimes, but it means that we will honor one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and honor one another in a Christ-honoring manner because we belong to each other. And even though we don't agree sometimes, we're going to work it out, or we're going to work at it until we get it, because we love one another above everything else. The relationship trumps the discord. The do's of life together. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. You know, one of the things that I hear sometimes that really makes me challenged is this criticism by people both in the church and outside the church, by Christians and non-Christians, who say they think they're so much better than anyone else. That should never be anything that someone says about us. Because we're not. As followers of Christ, we never elevate ourselves above another person. In fact, we are the ones who realize our true position as those who are sinners in Christ, forgiven by God, who get not what we deserve, but we get the grace of God. And so we extend that grace and compassion and love to others and associate with others and be like Jesus, who associated with the lowly and the sick and the criminals, as well as the religious leaders and kings. And so we simply make time for others, no matter who they are. And finally, we're skipping this Romans 15. We've come to the last do's of life together. 17 and 18, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know, when we were doing this trip into Resurrection Bay off the Kenai Peninsula, we hiked in and we were going to spend an overnight in the kind of this remote area. We traveled over a mountain, came down the side, and walked across the bay. We had to be there on low tide, so we really hiked it to make sure we didn't get flooded out. And we got over there and we were exhausted. And so it was about 2 in the afternoon. We set up camp, tent on the beach, and did some things. Went on another little hike and came back and climbed in our tent, and we started playing some cards because it was drizzling and raining. And we were told that, you know, you may see some whales out in this Resurrection Bay. They had traveled through there from time to time. You could take a cruise tour through there, and oftentimes you might see one, but there's no guarantee. And so I didn't think much of it, really, because chances are we would never see a whale. And so we were in the tent, and all of a sudden I heard some waves crashing up against the shore, what I thought were waves. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. The tide must be coming in, but I didn't pay any attention because I was warm and dry and tired, so I just stayed where I was. And then we heard it again, same sound, this whoosh. And all of a sudden, Elizabeth, she bolts up and she just about bursts through the tent without unzipping the door and runs out. And she said, "It's a whale." She said a lot of things, but she said, "It's a whale." And so we were, "A whale." So we all climb out of the tent as best we could. We get out on the beach and look out there and nothing. There's nothing. And so, but we stayed there and we looked intently. We watched. And all of a sudden, we saw it come up, the back arch over and, spray out some air, plume. And then the big tail follows at the end and comes out and goes down. We're all like, wow, did you know whales are huge? They are. I never would have expected it. You know, it's like, oh, wow, that was awesome. And, you know, if we would have stayed in the tent and just figured, well, whatever, it's a whale, we'd have never experienced that. But we didn't. Once we realized what it was, we went out there and we experienced one of God's amazing creatures in creation. It was so awesome, was it not? Yes. And so I think about that in our life together. You know, we can't control how other people respond and how other people act. We just can't do that. I know we would like to, we'd love to, we'd love to be able to fix people, but that's not our role, that's not our job. Only God can do that work in a person's life. But when we are willing to engage in the opportunities that God gives us to do life together, then we begin to experience the amazing grace of God in ways that you and I would never experience unless we did life together. And so that's my encouragement to us today, that to truly live into who we are as Jesus followers means that we fully embrace an interdependent life, a life together in the community of Christ. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." There's a last verse, if you want to put up Psalm 133. It's our memory verse for today, and I want to encourage us to share this out loud, this phrase together. Are you ready? "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." That's our prayer. May we live it out. In Jesus' name, amen.